the Gospel is from Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord.
So this is the last one. Wow, it's very overwhelming. I was surprised at the amount of advice I got for this last time up here. Seriously. And the advice was in two areas. One was, what was it? The pressure is on. Sorry. The pressure is on. You know, this is your last time to impart your great wisdom to us, that we will be able to carry this wisdom from this place forevermore. Well, sorry. That ain't going to happen today. You've had 33 years to listen to me preach. If I've ever been able to say anything brilliant, you've already heard it. So that takes the pressure off. The second thing is, I bet you're going to give it to us. And I'm like, what? Some people said, now at last you can really tell us what you're thinking. Yeah. Are any of you worried that I'm going to point you out in the pew? Don't worry. Others have said, well, now at last you can give us hellfire and brimstone pound on the pulpit. Well, that's not going to happen either for two reasons. One, that's just not me, but secondly, as I've told this story probably too many times, I learned that lesson long, long ago. It doesn't work. It really doesn't. When I was an internship, I still thought that in my sermons I could give it to somebody. There was a woman in the congregation. She was kind of a bear, and she was critical of everything, and she would tell anyone that, and she hurt feelings all over the place. She hurt my feelings. So one day when I was preaching, the text was just perfect about love and forgiveness and all this, and I thought, all right, I'm going to show her. I'm going to preach this to her. I hardly dared look at her during the sermon because I thought she was going to know I was preaching exactly about her, and it would be cutting her to the quick. And afterwards, I was at the door shaking hands, and she came down the aisle, and I thought, oh, no, what now? She came, she took my hand, she smiled this big smile and said, "Thank you for that sermon, Pastor. They needed to hear it." So guess what? Giving you hell doesn't help at all. And that's not why I was called here. 33 years ago, when I was installed here, there was a really nice little ritual that they use for every pastor that kind of summarizes what a pastor is to be here for. A representative of the congregation takes the new pastor, takes me, to the various things up here, and, well, here. They took me to the pulpit. I got to get the wording right. They took me to the pulpit, and then they said, "You have been called to be among us to proclaim the good news." Wow. Proclaiming the good news. It gets to be a challenge at times. I remember one time, years ago, I stepped into this pulpit, and there's a ledge back here, you don't know that, but there were pickle people in there. There were actual pickles with faces on them and hair and everything else. And the choir knew about it. Kind of hard to preach when you've got pickle people in the pulpit with you. I remember one time I'm standing here in the pulpit and I'm giving my sermon, and it was in the fall, and all of a sudden this box elder bug starts walking right slowly across the top of that. How distracting is that, huh? I remember the times when I came out of the pulpit and preached out here, and I would forget my next point, and you all loved it, and I'd be dying 1,000 deaths up here. I remember the times when Pastor Nate was here as our second pastor, and he would preach a sermon, and I'd be out there shaking hands after church, and people would come up to me and say, "Thank you, Pastor, that was a good sermon." I never knew what that meant, you know. Did they really not realize that I was like 25 years older than him? Or do they want me to know that he was a better preacher than me? I don't know. You just never know, do you? They took me over to the baptismal font that used to be here. I thought I'd be here this morning, but you can imagine it, right? And they said, "You've been called to be among us as to baptize, to teach, and to forgive sins." And what a blessing that has been, all these baptisms. The one brilliant story I remember is young couple here, so proud to have their baby baptized, and they had that little pacifier in their mouth, and it came time for the baby to be baptized, and I had them hold the baby over the font, the baptismal font, and all of a sudden the baby spit the pacifier out, and it went plop, right into the water there. And the poor young father was horrified. He's like, "Oh, I got to do something about this." And he was going to reach in and grab it. And all of a sudden, he stopped, like, "I can't touch this holy water, can I?" So I just pulled it out, shook it off, and we put it back in the baby's mouth. They brought me here to the altar here and said, "You have been called to be among us, to lead worship and preside in Holy Communion." Boy, leading worship is always an experience. You always have to be on your toes here. I remember one Christmas Eve, where the church is beautifully decorated. We always have the church over here, and we always have communion. And one of our communion helpers, she had the full tray full of all the glasses on, not like intinction like today. And she was walking up here and going by that Christmas tree, and she kind of lost her balance. And she started to topple into the Christmas tree. And I thought, the Christmas tree is coming down. The communion glasses are going all over the floor. But a couple of the choir members jumped up and saved the tree and saved her and saved communion. You just never know, do you, what's going to go on. One time I was doing communion here, coming down the rail, just handing out the wafers and just, focusing on that. All of a sudden, I come to one lady. She's kneeling there. She has taken off this cheap platinum blonde wig that she has and set it on the communion rail, and she's kind of petting it like a cat. What do you do with that? Years ago, I was, we chant the liturgy up here and we use various hymnals. So one Sunday when we had our former musician here, James Boschker, I got up here to chant the liturgy, and I had the maroon hymnal and that liturgy in front of me, and he started playing, and I realized he was playing out of the green hymnal. And I thought, what do I do now? Well, we're right close here, so I just turned around to him and I said, "Jim, I'm in the maroon hymnal." And he goes back, "Steve, I'm in the green hymnal," and kept playing. What do you do with that? Fortunately, somebody, one of the musicians, scurried back and got him the maroon hymnal and just put it on there, and he just switched and we went right on like nothing happened. And one of my favorite stories, you just never know what happens during a worship service. We always share the peace, and you shake peace hands with everyone else. And after one Sunday, one of the dear saints of our church, a woman, came up to me and she said, "I had the strangest experience during the passing of the peace. There was a strange gentleman who was sitting next to me, and I put out my hand and wished him peace, and he looked at me and he says, 'Why, thank you, I'm Jesus Christ.'" And she said, "I thought for a while, and then she said, I had the perfect answer. I looked right back at him and said, 'We're glad you're here today.'" Isn't that just perfect? All these memories to be able to do, and so much more that I've been able to do here. Let's walk down memory lane just a little bit more. Show of hands, how many of you have I baptized? Baptized. How many have I baptized? How many of you have I baptized? Yes, yes. How many of you have I baptized someone in your family? Yes. Amazing. How many of you had me as a confirmation teacher? Show of hands. What? Wow. How many of you have I married? Wow. How many of you have I buried someone in your family? Yeah. Wow. Wow, all those memories, all those wonderful, wonderful occasions. And so that's what's important to say today. Thank you. I stand here with the deepest gratitude I can imagine. 33 years you've allowed me to partner with wonderful, caring, faithful people. I could not imagine a better church to be a pastor of, not at all. You've given me the blessing of growing before your eyes. As I always say, after 5-6 years, I couldn't take my little bag of tricks and go to some other church and wow them afresh. I had to keep trying to struggle and learn and grow with you. And you've given me the support and the challenge and the acceptance and the encouragement and the forgiveness and the love to allow me to grow, to allow me to move forward. And all these things I know I could have never earned. They were just a gracious gift that you gave me from your faithfulness and from your hearts. And to be here for 33 years is a privilege very few other pastors are ever given. And it has been a deep blessing to me, and hopefully it has been a blessing to you. And I can't thank you enough. The final sermon is kind of like speaking at a graduation too, isn't it? You kind of feel that you're supposed to give you words of advice to remember me by. And I will, but it's going to be very, very brief. And I knew what I was going to say, or hope to leave you with, years ago. Years ago, after church. What? Mary Lou Person came up to me while I was shaking hands out there, and she says, "Can I kind of look at your stole and your robe?" And I go, "Sure." And she's kind of like, looking all over. I'm like, "What's going on?" And she finally says, "You know, I make dolls of people, and I'm going to make one of you." So I thought, okay. So a few weeks later, who shows up but this guy? You've probably seen him before. On the one hand, the detail is remarkable. I think the hair is a little off, but... But this was exactly the fabric that I used to have in my old robe, and I had this big button up there and everything. I don't know where the green slippers came from. I've never done that. But anyway, I'm so appreciative of this. But what really thrilled me and what I knew would just touch my heart the most was she had embroidered on here words that she had heard me speak at some time during a sermon, and it was this: "You are God's child, and you are deeply loved." And I knew as soon as I read that, that was it. If you heard me say that, that was more than enough. That is the deepest and truest thing that I can tell you. You are God's child, and you are deeply loved. And when we are able to live out of that reality, out of that space, we live out of love. Out of peace. We see ourselves as different people, not as people who don't have gifts, not as people who have a chip on their shoulder, not as people with anger, but as beloved people who have that gift of love to offer. And when we look at one another in that same love and see each other and the whole world as God's beloved children, it changes absolutely everything. So if you remember nothing else but that, that will be... That'll be it. So finally, the last few weeks, everybody's been asking me the key question, so what are you going to do now? Well, I'm going to turn it around. What are you going to do now as Trinity Lutheran Church? I hope that you'll be able to do what I'm going to try and be able to do now as I move forward as well, to remain open, to trust deeply, deeply in God's abundant leading. God isn't through with us. God isn't stopping. God doesn't call anyone into a vacuum. There will be changes, and that's great. You know, we've gone through all sorts of changes over 33 years, here, and it has been a blessing to us and to our community. So it's time to build on those changes and see what changes you're going to be called to in the future. You will prosper because this is a great church. I will always be a part of this church, and this church will always be part of me. I'm no longer going to be your pastor, but I hope I can always remain your friend. And now it's time for you to move this church forward. And I'll be watching. I'll be here. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see what you will become. I want to conclude with these favorite words of mine from Dag Hammarskjöld, who said, "For all that has been, thanks. For all that will be, yes. Yes. Yes." Amen.